Welcome into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here, and we are finally able to talk about free agency. Yes. People have been watching the show for the last few weeks. Feels like longer than that.
Yeah,
even.
Send us questions with specific names in it. Go right ahead.
About DeSean Jackson and individual people, and we had to keep saying we couldn't talk about them. Not only can we talk about them, at least one of them is on the team
right
now, which
exactly
is even more exciting. So now you can send us all those questions, thoughts, comments, free agency, draft, any and all of it. We can talk a whole lot more specifically than we'd been able to. So send those in using hashtag BucksLab. We'll get to all of that in the last segment, but for now, let's dive right into all of that free agency news, especially some of those bigger name signings like DeSean Jackson, Chris Baker, those guys that were brought in, and J.J. Wilcox. So those new additions, what do you feel like that has brought to this team in terms of excitement and also obviously just from an X's and O's standpoint?
Well, I think we talked about a little bit on the night of the first day when we got those players in the first hour of free agency, and it was clear that the groundwork, as you're allowed to do, was laid during those 2 days of a legal negotiation period, right? Mm-hmm. You couldn't really finalize it. You could get it ready. So maybe it took about an hour after 4 o'clock, but those guys were ready to come here. And one thing we've talked a little bit about what it means. I think that's sort of obvious and we can get into it a little bit. But one thing I found interesting is there was sort of both guys had some kind of long ago connection to this place, and they kind of felt like it was neat that they ended up here. Like Chris Baker said, the only team that brought him in before the draft visit was the Bucks here in 2000. I'm not even sure what year that was, 2008 or 9, something like that. And then he didn't get drafted, but he's made it in the NFL regardless. And it seemed like the way he was talking is he always held a little spot in his heart for the Bucks for that reason. So the little things like that can be the thing that sways it, because we weren't the only team that was interested in him.
That's true.
He's kind of one of those up-and-coming players that, you know, if you read any of the reviews of what the Bucks did, everybody seemed to really like the Chris Baker signing because it seemed to be real good value for a guy who maybe was a little under the radar for a lot of Buccaneer or for a lot of NFL fans, but really has had a couple good seasons in a row and is probably on the way up. So, and then DeSean Jackson also visited here, and actually he probably thought there was a good chance we were going to draft him. And I think we wanted to.
Yeah, sure. A lot of people wanted to back then. But then, I mean, he's even proven his worth since then incredibly. So with him in particular, I know that's the one that fans have just been so excited about even before he was ever signed, about the idea of, you know, everybody started that whole weapons for Winston, you know, campaign they were asking for, and just the idea of him and Mike Evans together. So everybody's been talking about his speed and the deep ball threat, but obviously he's more than just that. So what are all the different ways you can see him impacting this offense?
Well, and that's what both he and Dirk Cutter made a point of saying several times. He's not just a guy who runs deep on every play, but he is very good at that. So you see his highlights on tape, and you'll see him gain separation, which is what you need, right? And as Dirk was explaining, sometimes the ball won't even go to him, but it's going to help open up our offense because a lot of deep routes are really combination routes. So you got one guy going deep, and you got another guy intermediate, and another guy that's a check down. And these intermediate guys were getting squeezed because nobody was respecting anything going deep for us. So his going deep, he'll get some deep balls, but he'll also open up some intermediate range passes, which James Winston was really good at throwing last year in the intermediate. And, you know, that's one thing that hasn't really clicked for Jameis and his receivers that he's had in the first 2 years. Just about the only thing that hasn't is the deep ball hasn't really been there. And that hopefully should change. I've heard DeSean Jackson, and I can tell you why I made that mistake in a minute, but I've heard him described as a guy that's hard to overthrow. And so, you know, hopefully some of those balls that were not quite hitting downfield we're going to hit now. But then you were asking me what all can he do, and of course he's the kind of guy you can put the ball in his hand on, you know, a quick slant, and he might go the distance. So that's something that we've been lacking as well.
And I think he was asked about inside, outside, the different ways he could potentially even line up, and that everybody is, you know, and with his height in particular, that people are wondering even about some of those inside things, if he, you know, how he would look in the slot versus outside. And so where do you see that really fitting?
I don't think he'll be a slot receiver. I mean, I'm sure we've got little plays for everybody that moves him around, but I think you're going to see him as an outside receiver, even though he's clearly willing to do whatever routes he's called for. He's still more of an outside the numbers kind of receiver, big impact that way. And we have a guy that we like in the slot right now in Adam Humphries. So, you know, he's just going to open up opportunities for Adam and Cam Brake going down the seam and stuff like that.
Which has got to be incredibly exciting. Mm-hmm. And you said you were going to explain that little slip.
All right. So the one thing about this whole DeSean Jackson signing that I've found just a little bit irritating is I keep reading these stories that – we got the wrong Jackson in 2008 in the draft, and that's how it's being painted, like the Bucks made a mistake. Now, the Bucks did make – let me be clear. The Bucks drafted Dexter Jackson, a receiver out of Appalachian State, not to be confused with Super Bowl MVP Dexter Jackson, yeah, as a safety, at number 57. Okay, that was a mistake. That's one of the worst second-round picks the Bucks have ever made. The guy didn't make it at all. He played like seven games period, never caught a pass. They thought he could be the return man right away. That didn't work out. So, yes, that was a bad draft pick. But DeSean Jackson was off the board nine picks before that. There, we did not have an opportunity to draft DeSean Jackson. It was a weird year. Other than 1990, it's the only year since the merger where no receivers were taken in the first round. There just wasn't that guy like this year, like a Mike Williams, where everybody knew they were going to go in the first round. And no receivers at all got drafted in the first round, and the Bucs took Aqib Talib. Nobody thought the Bucs should take Dexter or DeSean or any other receiver at number 20. So, and Aqib Talib, I know in the end it didn't work out, but that was a good pick of a good player. And then all the receivers started coming off the board. There's, you know, Donnie Avery and Devin Thomas, and a lot of these names you're not going to remember very well. Donnie Avery a little bit. Devin Thomas didn't do much. Jordy Nelson, that's a big name. He went high. You know, James Hardy, Eddie Royal, Jerome Simpson, and then DeSean Jackson went. Now, the only way you can claim that this was a mistake of us getting the wrong Jackson is if you say the Buccaneers should have traded up. But, I mean, come on, the guy went 49th.
Right.
It wasn't like everybody was sold.
That's
he
so
was
true.
The seventh receiver drafted. You know, the Bucs didn't draft. And I think John Gruden, and, you know, he tells good stories, and he's fun to listen to, and, his, you know, his colloquial talk. And, you know, when he runs into DeSean Jackson and tells him, I got the wrong Jackson, well, that's funny, and it makes sense. But it doesn't mean the Bucs made a mistake by picking the wrong Jackson.
He actually wasn't there available.
Yes,
that
we
pick,
picked
a
Jackson, which was a bad pick, but it wasn't because we didn't want DeSean Jackson.
Right, which is a great point. And we've talked a little bit about Chris Baker and DeSean Jackson, obviously, and then J.J. Wilcox. That was sort of a
surprise one.
With, you know, we're doing the whole press conference for the other guys, and then boom, there's another signing there. And so tell us a little bit about what you think he can bring to this team and just what we've learned from his experience and even position change in his career.
I got to talk to him a little bit. Yeah, like you said, he played running back at Georgia Southern until his senior year. And so he's, you know, that's like they say with anybody that makes a position switch and it's not something they played since high school. They're still learning the position. And even though he's had 4 years in the NFL now, he still believes he's still learning the position and learning how to be a better safety. He's a big hitter. He's a willing hitter. He's a good athlete. He started basically most of the year in 14 and 15. And the last year, Dallas had three good safeties, Barry Church, who got a big contract with Jacksonville, and Byron Jones, the first-round pick, who really came on last year, and J.J. And he said, you know, I was talking to him in the hallway back here, and he said, you know, the coaches make the decision. You can't control that. But he still got to play about 52% of the snaps, and he says it was his best year. And so he clearly thinks, given an opportunity to start 16 games again, his game's going to continue to be on the rise. And I got to believe the Buccaneers feel that way too. You know, and if nothing happens with Bradley McDougald, if he goes somewhere else, basically he's your replacement for Bradley. And in a way, they're kind of similar players in that they've sort of still been developing as safeties earlier in their career.
And it was interesting to hear him talk about John Lynch and his thoughts on him and just the type of safety that it almost made him want to be, even though, you know, he grew up watching him. He wasn't playing that position necessarily at the time, but I thought that was really cool to hear him, you know, have a lot of respect for that.
Yeah, and we'll take that.
Yeah, we'll take anybody that is willing to compare themselves to that. And you did bring up Bradley McDougald, which we still don't know what's happening with that, but Chris Conte is one of the people that has been re-signed. So what does that maybe potentially with him and J.J. Wilcox tell us about just the overall safety position?
I still think safety is a position we could address in the draft, and that would change things a little bit. But you're basically left with where you were before, so Wilcox replaces McDougald. And they weren't unhappy with Chris Conte's play. He didn't get benched for that reason. He got hurt. Keith Tandy stepped in and was just too red hot to take out. So now you have that three safety rotation. And you know, I know that's one too many for the number of starting positions you have, but you can make it work. The Cowboys did, like I said, every one of their safeties played at least 52% of the snaps last year, which means they must have had some packages where all three were on the field at the same time.
Right.
Keith Tandy's a very versatile player who's played in the slot before in his career. I got to believe there's a way for the Buccaneers to find a way to use all three of those guys.
That sounds interesting. All right, we're going to keep talking about some of the guys that the Bucs have brought in and kept, and then a couple of the guys that are actually now going to be playing for other teams next year, all due to free agency. So stick with us. Keep sending in those questions. Use that hashtag BucsLive, and we'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. We are continuing our discussion of how the Bucs roster has already changed a little bit over the last week due to free agency. And, of course, we know you have tons of thoughts, questions, comments about free agency and the draft and everything else going on right now. So send those in using hashtag BucsLive. So we talked a little bit about Chris Conte. He was one of the ones we brought back. But, in general, just kind of wanted to talk about all the different guys that have been re-signed and what that means for the team.
We did just sign another guy yesterday.
Yes, Garrison that's Sanborn. A good point. We should still address that other new addition, the long snapper.
Yeah, long snapper, which we needed. I mean, at the moment, at least, Andrew DePaul is not with us, and he suffered that knee injury, and he's a free agent right now. Garrison Sanborn, I think it was kind of a fortunate situation. He was released by Buffalo after he'd been their long snapper for, I think, 8 years, and he happens to be a Tampa guy who went to Jesuit, which is, like, right over there. Went to Florida State, and I got to believe when the Bucs saw that on the waiver wire, they you know called him right away. Not waiver wire because he's a vested veteran, so he wasn't subject to the waiver wire. But that's just kind of a nice opportunity for the Bucs. I'm sure I would imagine he wanted to come here and get a chance to play for the Buccaneers, and so that worked out kind of nicely. We did have another long snapper on the roster that we had signed, coincidentally, also a former Florida State guy named Dax Dellenbach. So I imagine at the moment it's a battle between those two.
But just adding more of those Florida State people that makes half of our fans maybe pretty excited.
And, Jameis definitely gets excited.
Although
Jameis would never have played with Garrison Sanborn because he's been in the league for a long time. And that's what happens a lot. The fact that the Bills cut him does not mean that he was any less effective. He played every game for the last 8 years. He's probably still just as good. But, you know, those guys, as they progress, you know, some teams you only want to play a long snapper a certain amount of money, and they get – every year, the amount you're paying them, even if you're paying them the minimum, is going up.
Yeah, the minimum goes up all the time, so that's a very good point.
You see that happen a lot with all kinds of special teams players, long snappers and even kickers and punters as they get a little higher up in their career. Sometimes a team will decide they don't want to pay that much money anymore for a kicker, but then another team in a different situation is more than willing to do so. And so, I mean, we don't know. I can't say I've actually seen Garrison Sanborn snap out back here or anything yet. But my guess would be he's perfectly effective as he has been. Is just a situational thing. So,
which is interesting. It
also led to me making a terrible tweet last night.
Uh-oh.
And I was trying to save characters because you only get 140 characters.
Yeah.
So I was trying to say he played a Jesuit, which is less than a mile from Raymond James Stadium.
Uh-huh.
And he'd be the first Jesuit grad ever to play for us if he makes it. But I got the less than – I used the more than symbol instead of less than symbol.
Whoops.
Yeah. So I said close. He was more than – and some very clever – I got to give him credit. Some very clever guy on Twitter said – virtually every high school in the United States is more than a mile away from Raymond James Stadium.
You can always thank the Twitter people for correcting.
Yeah,
things.
And I had actually seen it. I'd seen him like, oh, man, I messed that up. I hope nobody notices.
And then of course someone notices. That's what Twitter's for.
There's no chance. Yeah, exactly.
That's the whole point of Twitter.
It was my bad, though. I did make the mistake.
That's pretty funny. I like that. All right, so, yeah, now that we've addressed that's the last of the additions for now that have happened. Yeah. So for the guys that have been re-signed, we talked about Chris Conte. Obviously, William Golston.
Yeah, we talked about that already. But the one I really like is Josh Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were, and I think maybe we're going to talk about this in a bit, we weren't thrilled that Russell Shepard has moved on. I mean, you can't blame him or fault him or even feel bad. I mean, he got the opportunity to hit free agency and somebody wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's
unfortunately,
great it's
someone
for Russell.
In our division, which is unfortunate.
I'm sure we wanted him too, but you can't keep everybody that you want. And so good for him. I wish he'd gone out of the division, as you said. But especially considering that Russell's moving on, really, really happy that we were able to keep Josh Robinson here.
Yep.
Because, you know, those two, that's probably the best pair of gunners we've had in any season as far as I can remember. And, you know, for the second half of the season, Russell was playing receiver a lot more, not doing the gunner as much. But so we still have the two we were using, which was Josh Robinson and Ryan Smith, who was pretty good at it too.
Yes, that's very true. And the iconic photo can be relived.
Is proof of that, yes.
So do you think that the fact that we were going to potentially be losing Russell Shepard did add some added emphasis to wanting Josh Robinson back?
All I know is if I were in the – I'm not Jason Light or John Spytek or Mike Greenberg, who does the country. I'm not any of those guys, but if I was in their shoes, that's the way it would have made me feel.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been like, yeah, let's – you know, we probably already were trying to get Josh back, but let's make sure we do. Let's try harder.
Yeah, that's very true. And so looking at, in general, just free agency as a whole, whether it's new additions, guys that have been re-signed, guys that have been let go, how would you kind of summarize the activity that has happened so far and the changes that has brought to this team?
Well, the guys that have left – we released Alteron Werner before free agency, so you can count that one. And then Mike Glennon, everybody obviously knew we were going to be saying goodbye to Mike Lennon. He got his chance to start, which is great. Akeem Spence went to Detroit, and Russell Shepard, as we just said. Now, Akeem Spence leaving, the fact that we signed Chris Baker, I don't think we have a numbers problem there. And so I don't think, you know, good luck to Akeem in Detroit, and certainly he had 4 or 5 good years here. But he's getting another opportunity somewhere else. I think the Buccaneers are going to be okay in terms of numbers and what they've got to play on the inside. You know, Russell Shepard's kind of had a unique spot on our team as a special teams ace and a guy that was kind of developing into more of a reliable receiver that you could use. And also, as we've talked many times, that vocal leader in the locker room. So replacing all that is difficult, but, you know, we got the receiver thing kind of taken care of with DeSean Jackson, and the draft still to come. And I think we're okay at gunner, as we just said, with Josh Robinson and Ryan Smith.
That's true. That's a very good point. So looking at, we talk in general about the way that free agency and the draft influence each other.
Yeah.
What do you can we learn anything about what the draft might hold because of these things that have happened so far? Or have we talked about the fact that you can double up, you can do other things, and really this may not have told us anything about their draft strategy?
I think it's the latter. If we had rushed out to sign some offensive linemen, perhaps, then I would have thought they were doing that because the offensive line is a weak position in this year's draft. And you saw that overall in free agency, the offensive lineman cashed in. It was huge.
That's free agency
for, I mean, Matt Khalil got a huge contract in to go to the Panthers, as an example, which surprised some. But a lot of them, tackles Ricky Wagner and Riley Reiff all over the place, Mike Rimmers from the Panthers. Guards got huge money. But in this case, I think the Buccaneers, DeSean Jackson was perfect for what we needed. And Chris Baker was a player that they had liked. They said since the season ended, they were looking at tape, and they really liked him. And they've been waiting for this chance to get him in free agency. And I don't think it has anything to do with the deficiencies or strengths of the draft. And I also don't think it necessarily changes. Well, it changes in that I think it gives us flexibility. It gives the Buccaneers flexibility. They're not really tied into anything, any specific need. And so I think that's great in terms of our first 3 draft picks and what we can do with them.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what we end up kind of rating this free agency. I mean, last year we talked about how it wasn't necessarily the big splash signings, but it ended up being an incredibly effective free agency.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see this year. We had maybe, you know, with the DeSean Jackson, slightly more splash in that sense. But to see, you know, overall efficiency, you never really know until the actual season kicks in.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we're going to still have one more segment coming up that's getting to your Twitter questions, thoughts, comments. You can keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive, and we'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. It is time to get to your Twitter thoughts, questions, comments. You can keep sending all of that in throughout this segment. You got to use that hashtag BucksLive. That is what I'm searching to find them. Our first one comes from Aaron, and he says, do you think the Bucks are content now with what they got in free agency, or are they still looking to add more pieces? And his examples he gives are potentially a tight end or a defensive end.
I think we've seen the big blush of free agency. I don't think you're going to see any more really big signings. Wouldn't mind if I was proven wrong, but I would not think that we're totally done, though. I mean, this is sort of like the second phase of free agency, and there's still a lot of players out there, and some of them were maybe hoping to get snapped up in the early goings, and now they have to readjust their sights a little bit, and maybe as prices come down a little bit, you find depth pieces. As for the positions I mentioned, yeah, tight end makes some sense, although it didn't seem to be a whole lot out there. And then one of them, Jordan Cameron, he retired, so that's one off the board. I don't think it's a real, real robust market for tight ends. And any defensive ends that are out there now, I assume would be sort of lower tier guys that you might give a shot to, but wouldn't necessarily be a name that, as a Buck fan, you'd be like, oh, that puts us over the top.
Right.
If you're going to get another pass rusher, I would think it's of some note. I think it's probably going to be through the draft, which is possible. But, you know, we're in pretty good shape as it is. I was just writing about this earlier today. And I think you can go pretty 7 or 8 deep of guys who have a shot at being a decent pass rusher, and the Bucks want that. You know, when you talk about Jacquees coming back, when you're talking about Robert Ayers hopefully getting closer to 16 full games, when you're talking about Noah Spence coming off a pretty good game, won't have the shoulder injury, I mean a pretty good rookie season, won't have the shoulder injury. He maybe hit a little bit of a rookie wall at the end of last year. I don't know if that's true or not, but he didn't have any sacks the last 5 games after kind of coming on strong in midseason. You got a lot of pieces there, and Will Golson's going to play a lot, and I know he has not been an elite pass rusher, but that's what he's saying he wants to take. That's his goal, to take his game to the next level, and I wouldn't put it past him. And then now you have a real nice 3-man rotation of pass rushers in the middle in Gerald McCoy and Chris Baker and Clint McDonald. You still have some other guys like Silver Saliga who re-signed, and then, you know, William Golson can play in the inside too, and you got pluggers, but you got at least a 3-man rotation of pass rushers. I think we're fairly deep. I mean, I agree that you can never have enough there.
Right.
But I don't think that's necessarily a big free agency target right now.
Okay. Jason says he thinks that the team was one playmaker away from a serious postseason run, and now they have DeSean Jackson. Do you think that's the game changer?
Yeah, and I think everybody feels that way, and that's why I think it was such a good free agent signing. We've talked about the pitfalls of free agency, and you can mess up, and teams mess up every year, even with the big signings. But I think when you've got such a specifically targeted need and a player that fits that perfectly, that's how you really get the most out of free agency. And yes, we were that close. I mean, the Bucks were that close, right? 9-7 and lost out on the playoffs on a third-level tiebreaker, of course. I mean, I'm sure you could go back through the schedule and find 2 or 3 games where one or more big plays in that game changes it, absolutely. So if it was easy as just saying, because it's true probably, we're one bit more explosive playmaker from being good enough to make the playoffs last year. But we're not going to be the exact same team at the beginning of next year.
Right.
You can't do the math quite that easily.
Yeah, it's not just a complete substitution.
A lot of stuff still has to be done, and a lot of stuff has to go right. But there's obviously reason to be optimistic. This team's been going this way. A lot of the core players that are taking the team this way, your Jameis Winstons and Mike Evans and some of your offensive linemen and some of your defensive players, are young guys. There's no reason to expect them not to keep getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, if this team is similar in September to where it was at the end of last year and you add DeSean Jackson to that, yeah, that makes a difference. I agree with that.
Okay. Alex has 2 questions. One of them he asks, is Ryan Smith coming back to Tampa, which we already sort of addressed that.
He was a rookie last year.
He's still under rookie contract.
Yeah, he's got 3 years left on his original contract. The thing that he's going back to is cornerback. Because we drafted him. He played mostly corner, some safety in college, and we wanted to try him at safety. And after having him practice and all, I guess at some point during the season they started putting him back at corner, and he did really, really well on the practice field apparently, just like eye-openingly well.
Wow, okay.
So they have really high hopes for him as a cornerback now.
That's interesting. And then his other question was, do you think the Bucks are looking for a running back in free agency or the draft?
Well, we did already in re-signing Jacquizz.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was one we didn't address
right.
earlier.
I think we talked about it before. Yeah. Maybe. I'm not sure. But that was a good re-signing.
Yeah.
There, we talked about
there.
It.
There. I'm glad we brought him back. Good job.
You know what? Again, it's that whole what's going to happen with Doug Martin, and it's a situation that can play itself out. And what's going to be different other than monitoring his progress in taking care of himself and his health between now and when you get on the field in May, really? You know, that's when you're going to see. And
yeah.
So...
The problem is the draft is before that.
Right, and I think in the draft what you do, and I don't know, again, we should point out that this is just our conjecture, not the thoughts.
Yeah, we're not
of
in those
Jason
meetings
Leiter.
Over on that side of the building.
I think if you're in the draft and you have guys, there are backs that you would be willing to take them if they're there at the right spot. Like, let's just say hypothetically, and we'll choose Dalvin Cook because he's Florida State. Let's say hypothetically they love Dalvin Cook upstairs. If he's there at 19, they may jump on him regardless of what has happened with Doug Martin. And then that could... change your strategy with the rest of the roster moving forward.
Okay. And then Rick had a question about, do you think the Bucs will sign Nick Mangold at center? I think he has 2 to 3 good years left.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we've got Evan Smith is back. We've got other linemen that we've trained to play center. So if your depth with J.R. Sweezy coming back causes some shuffling around, you could conceivably see an Ali Marpet or a Kevin Panfil playing center. But we have Smith still, and Joe Holly is an unrestricted free agent, but that doesn't mean he's not necessarily coming back. And I think you probably have the center position covered pretty well at that point.
Okay. Jordan wants to know, how soon can Jameis and Deshaun start throwing?
I believe they can do anything they want to on their own away from here.
Right.
You can't.
Just can't have coaches involved.
Yes. So it has to be completely up to them. They talk to each other and decide to work out somewhere on a high school field.
Didn't Jameis and Mike do that last year? That's what I thought.
So, and that worked out well.
Yeah.
Because there was the thought that they didn't have a really strong connection in Jameis's first year, but it was very good last year.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a betting man, I would guess that Jameis would reach out. He seems like, I mean, we already know he's that type. So.
Yeah, that's very true. Eric asked an interesting question. Does the addition of Deshaun change anything about Vincent Jackson coming back?
Well, they're not really the same type of player, right? So if you wanted to bring Vincent back, I don't think the addition of Deshaun would change that.
Okay.
Yeah. And at the combine, Jason and Dirk were both asked about him, and basically they said, we consider him a Buccaneer for life. We've talked to him, but they didn't really give us any idea if that meant they talked about coming back or not.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. That's going to do it for us on this edition of Buccaneers Insider Live presented by Miller Lite. We'll be back next week. You can continue to send in all those questions throughout the rest of the week using that hashtag Bucs Live. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you next time.